Hello and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Matthew Day. He's a backup dancer for Jennifer Lopez, most recently for her Vegas residency and the incredible Motown tribute she did on the Grammys. He's also touched the stages of many other artists, including will.i.am, Nicole Scherzinger, and more. He talked about everything from his childhood growing up with a single mother and losing a close friend, to moving to Los Angeles and living out of his car while he was trying to book gigs, his mentality when he's about to go out onto a stage with 80,000 screaming fans in the audience, and even, you know, the importance of losing oneself to in turn find yourself, as he puts it. It was great to meet him, and he has some great dance moves, might I add. So go check out his Instagram while you listen to this, at Matt Day from the Bay. I'll put it in the episode description. Okay, enjoy.
Can you sing?
Woo!
That sounds good.
You know, I try to hit a note, maybe in the shower.
Do you practice in the shower? I feel like
speaking?
Like just in your head.
Or dancing.
Routine.
Dancing?
Choreography.
No, I like to get up and go to the gym early in the mornings so I can get the steam room and the sauna by myself, and I'll be in there and I'll be moving.
You know, I just joined a place with infrared saunas, and I've only been twice for about 50 minutes, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it's the sauna has changed my life.
Yeah.
It has changed my life. It's so peaceful. It's so calming.
Yeah,
it really keeps me centered, and it allows me to move freely through space with my body and like really get to know myself.
Yeah. I'm sure it helps with just
with
recovery on your muscles.
Oh yeah, every night after rehearsals, it's mandatory for me. When I was younger, I didn't pay attention because I was, you know, be tough.
Yeah, just do it.
So what if you're sore? You know. But now, it's mandatory.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the sauna. I'm into it. It's my new thing.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
It's funny because like. It's not a new thing, but I just never had access to one.
Yeah, I feel I never took it serious.
Right. Now, as you're like, each year, you're probably focused more on like, okay, I need to do...
Self-preservation.
Yeah, preventative things.
Yeah. I had a really bad injury 7-8 months ago that I had to try to bounce back from. So like, the sauna really allowed my muscles to release and... like I said, you get to know yourself when you really put the intention at what part in your body you want to fix or what part you want to be more flexible in, and you really just take the time out to do deep breathing in the sauna, you get to know your body way more than you've known it before.
I could see that. And, I mean, you can't really bring things in there with you. So it's not like you can bring your phone in.
I mean, I do.
Oh, you bring your phone
in
there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if I get water damage, it is what it is. I'll have to get another one. But I have to have.
Your iPhone still works?
Yeah. You will live stream in there. If you
Really?
Yeah, I live stream in there the whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. Does it your phone overheat? You know, like when iPhone? Or do you have an iPhone?
I do. I don't sit in there for like...
A
100
time.
Hours, you
gotcha.
Know? So I'll go in, do what I got to do, step out, go back in.
Gotcha.
You know?
You do yoga, right?
Yes.
I saw on your
yes.
Instagram you're doing some yoga.
Yeah, that's a new thing for me, too. I used to be against yoga. I was like, what is this yoga stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Just lift weights.
Yeah.
But now it's so peaceful.
Yeah.
I'm such a believer in the third eye and energies and frequencies and things like that. And yoga.
What's the third eye?
The third eye is it's the gateway to your soul, right here in the middle of your head. It's the gateway to your soul. It's the all-seeing, all-knowing third eye. It's when you really become centered with yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a whole nother realm that we live in this world where energies can really match up. Whatever we put out into the world, we receive. And the only way to do so is to really be to allow your third eye to be open and you to be awake to the energies around you. So often as people, we allow these negative energies to take shackle on us. And they're leeches. They're just sucking us dry, and we can't figure out why. And it's because we're looking through our eyes, not allowing our third eye to be open. You know, we want to see what it is instead of letting our energies match.
I think I understand what you're saying, and I definitely agree. It's just you say it more eloquently than I would, but definitely. I mean, if it just in general in your day to day life, I feel like if you're allowing some type of toxic thing into your mind, and then you're just driving down the street, everything will annoy you. Everything will irritate you.
Most definitely.
You know.
It's interesting. I have a lot of friends that are I feel like LA is a place where we all fail forward. You know, we fail time and time and time again, audition after audition, opportunity after opportunity. They say closed door after closed door, but to me, it's just you're going house to house until that door opens for you to get in. And when you do that, it's easy to look at it negatively. It's easy for you to wake up, look at your Instagram and start scrolling and be like, oh, my God, everybody's life is amazing. But that's the that's not even a blueprint. That's the billboard of their greatest moments. That was probably 2 months ago when they're still laying in bed. First thing you do in the morning is going to set the tone for your day. So if you're already starting off in negative energy, if you're allowing people to attach that to you, you haven't overcome anything today. You know, so when you overcome something, you have positive energy moving forward. You have a great way to start your day. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like to get up, if you have to get up at 7 every day and you don't like waking up early, get up at 6. That way you've already defeated something. You've already accomplished something. You've triumphed and you can start your day great. You know, have some peace in the morning, have a victory in the morning and then start. If not, you're just going into a city where everybody's failing forward and upset.
Yeah. Have you always been optimistic?
No, not at all.
So this is like a recent thing?
I feel like, so I grew up in a poverty-stricken neighborhood. You know that whole story. We hear it time and time again. You know, it's hard. You grow up in the hood, this and that. I think I've been very blessed for the past 6 years to travel and be able to see different places in the world and be around real wealth. You know, there's rich and then there's wealthy. And God has blessed me to be around wealthy people, but he's also allowed me to do it with wisdom and take a backseat. Instead of trying to be a person, I sat down and I learned. I listened to the conversations. I paid attention to what they're discussing, how they're discussing it. People drop jewels all the time, but if you're not awake to it, you'll never pick it up. So I think I had to get over the trauma that happened in my life. I had to allow myself to let go a lot of the hurt. I had a lot of survivor's guilt, you know, and I had to let go of all of that. And once I let go of all of that, I got to ask myself who I am again. And that's when I started to become optimistic. You know?
Yeah. And you moved to LA when you were 22?
Yes.
So, Matt Day from the Bay.
Yes.
Where did you grow up?
What 707. Time? I grew up in Fairfield, California, born in Vallejo. I am a 707 kid. Yes.
Yeah. So you grew up with your mom?
Yes. Grew up with my mom, my brother, and my sister. Yeah.
What's she like?
My mom is a superhero. She's the greatest woman I've ever met in my life, you know? I mean, she is a white woman that grew up somewhat privileged, married my father. He had his drug addictions due to going to Vietnam War and, you know, growing up in his own poverty-stricken situation and him not having a father, he had his problems. So I could never fault him for that. But I feel like she's a superhero because she stuck in it and she grew in. And as a white woman in a predominantly black neighborhood, She found her own. She found herself. And she said, you know what? I got to raise these three young mixed kids. Mm-hmm. And it's not about race. It's not about financial status. It's about making sure that they're great kids for this world. So she always pushed me forward and let me know that I could be a star. Let me know that I could be that guy. So, yeah.
So were you dancing a lot as a kid?
No, I didn't dance until high school, really. I played sports the majority of my life. For me, the goal was I want to be at a Super Bowl, NFL, San Francisco 49er, let's go. And, you know, I played ball and that wasn't working out, you know. I was good, but I wasn't that good. So God put me on track to find a new dream, and he allowed me to.
So what made you start dancing? Like, were you just the life of the party at weddings or something?
And nah.
Homecoming?
Nah. We had garage parties. We had garage parties growing up. We in middle school, I played Pop Warner ball, and we would have garage parties. And at these garage parties, you either sink or you swim, you know? I got to get girls. Hey, how are y'all?
Gotcha.
So who am I going to be? Because you're either, where I grow up, you're either the drug dealer, the nerd, or you have a talent.
Okay.
You know? So I had to figure out what my talent was. Some of the other football players were better than me. So how can I shine? So I started picking up dance, started freestyling, got to high school, met a guy named Terrence, met a guy named Rob, and we just, you know, we kept pushing each other. We started a garage group called Triple Threat with a guy named Antoine Troop that's out here choreographing for a lot of people. And got a few spots on BET and really opened up our eyes to the fact that we could do more. And then I didn't really take it serious till 11th grade. My best friend Anthony got shot in the back of the head and passed away. And I was at a dance performance. Normally, we go to parties together to make sure we all get out safe. Mm-hmm. Like, I got your back, you got my back. For this night, I couldn't be there, nor could my other best friend be there for him, and he ended up passing away. So I went through that struggle a little bit of, God, why? And I felt like he was just telling me, dance is how you're going to get out. That's how you're going to start to build your platform to make a difference, to be the bridge between privilege and poverty, minority and majority. So I utilized it and I ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm here now.
So then, and I mean, just dancing with your friend Anthony, that's like a connection that
he didn't even dance.
Oh, he
didn't
did
even
it.
Dance. Nah, he that's my guy. He was just my best friend. He just my guy. Oh. You know, I didn't really hang out with dancers growing up. He was just my guy, and you know, life takes place.
Right.
Chapters in and new ones open.
Yeah, but you're aware that this is something that you could like continue doing and maybe make money doing it and keep it going. So were you just like, all right, shoot, I got to move to L.A.?
Yes and no. I graduated high school and I quit my dance group that I was in and I wanted to go find myself. I started teaching so I could really have a confidence for my movement and confidence for myself, not just being taught all the time. At one point, when I hit 22, I was like, you know what? If I don't move, I'm not moving. Hmm. If I don't go to L.A., Houseway. You know what I mean? How am I gonna make this happen from out here? I was working at a car wash at the time, working 45-hour weeks, you know? Great job. I loved it, but it's not what I want to do. It's not my purpose. So I packed everything in my trunk, and I drove to L.A. Was homeless for about 2 years and, you know, thugged it out. Had to make it happen, you know? Eating top ramen noodles and Jack in the Box tacos.
Yum. What was your first impression of, I mean, obviously you grew up in California, so had you been to Los Angeles before?
Yeah, I had been to L.A., but the Bay Area is very, very different from Los Angeles. So culture shock for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Culture shock for sure. I don't want to call Hollywood and North Hollywood and the Valley Los Angeles just because, in my opinion, there's a bunch of transplants. Everybody's mm-hmm. from somewhere else trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
That energy, that figuring out who you are energy is really, really hard to shift through. It's really hard to stay solid as yourself when the majority of people around you are just leeching onto each other to figure out who they are, who they can be, and where they have to go.
Yeah. Right. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
How can I get to the next step?
Yeah, and that's really hard to sift through. I think it's important that we, as young entertainers, go through that. We have to. We have to lose ourselves a little bit. If we don't lose ourselves, how do you find yourself? You know, if I'm the same person that I've always been, how do I level up? I never did. I stayed the same. So I had to lose myself, and I know a bunch of other people lose themselves, become different people, try this on, try that on, try this on. And then you hit a point where you have to look at yourself and you have to say, who am I? I don't recognize me in the mirror. So mm-hmm. who am I going to start to create? That's, to me, the greatest moment you can ever have is I don't see myself anymore. So who can I create? Because now I get to be whoever I want in this world.
So how do you go from being sort of like eating ramen, being homeless mm-hmm. to landing, like you literally were just on the Grammys with J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from A to B?
First God. Faith. When I booked my very first gig, it was the Will.i.am Justin Bieber, that Power video.
Mm.
And I was homeless at the time, living in my car. A friend of mine named Liz was like, hey, come live with us. It's okay. We got a couch for you. I did that for 30 days. And after 30 days, I didn't feel... I don't know. I guess I have a pride issue. I didn't feel like a man. I was like, nah, I can't contribute to rent. I can't contribute to food. I'm sleeping on your couch. I feel like I'm tiptoeing around your house. I don't want to do it anymore. So I was like, God, you got me. And I moved back into my car. The next day, I got a phone call asking me to send my headshot over. A week later, I was in Japan shooting a music video. And then from that point on, I started going on tours. And God blessed me with the ability to sleep in the nicest hotels around the world and the best cotton sheets you could find, you know. Yes. So it's faith. It's faith and hard work and trusting yourself. I bet on me. I bet on me. No, ain't nobody. How? How you gonna beat me at me? Mm. I'm the best guy for the job. I'm Matt Day. I'm him. What are you talking about? You want me, it's me. If you want somebody else, get them. That's fine, because this job wasn't for me. But if you want somebody who's going to be Matt Day, it's me. And I'm going to be him great, because I don't want to be anybody else. And I'm not going to be anybody else, and I'm not going to try to. So if I am talented enough, and I have the spirit you want, and you want a workhorse, oh, I'm a work. Let's go. We can run till my feet break. Let's go.
Yeah. So you go to auditions with that mentality, confidence.
Yes.
Right?
Because who cares if you mess up the step?
Yeah.
If you're an actor, who cares if you mess up the line? Were you confident? Show me that you're going to give it to me confidently.
As a dancer, is it? I was reading. I don't think dancers haven't always been part of SAG-AFTRA, right?
Not always.
So when you're, you know, just starting out and trying to book jobs, do you first try and get an agency that will tell you about these auditions?
Yeah, you want to get an agent. We have our agencies. I'm with GoTo. They have Block, they have Clear, they have a bunch of different agencies.
Yeah.
You get your agent, they start to send you emails. These emails tell you about what audition is where. They teach you how to put your headshots up. But really, you're CEO of you, you know? Interesting enough, even though dancers can be a part of SAG, the majority of jobs are not SAG. So if I do 20 jobs throughout the year, I probably had one SAG job. You know,
right.
Which is an award show or a TV show.
Yeah.
One of those. And then the other jobs you're doing are not SAG. So, you know, unfortunately, we're still in a day and age where sometimes dancers don't get paid. We're still in a day and age where it's not as glamorous as people look. Like,
yeah,
it is what it is. We have to go out here and we work 365 days a year, every day, every single day, 7-8 classes that are an hour, hour and a half long, learning steps, learning how to be superheroes for people. And sometimes we don't get paid. And it is what it is.
Right.
That's where the industry's at.
Yeah. Do you think that it's moving toward dancers? Like, is there a group of dancers that are sort of pushing for, oh, we need to be paid for our time? And
yeah, we have Dancers Alliance, and they do as greatest that they can do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a hard space for dancers to live in is the fact that we sometimes are dealing with we're dealing with people that have been in the industry for the past 40 years. You know,
right.
They've already been around the block. We're young, 19, 20, 21 years old, 22.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've always wanted to dance since I was 3 years old. I'll do it for nothing. Guess
right.
what they're going to do? Give it to you for nothing.
Yeah.
Here's your dream, but why do you need payment? You want to do it for nothing.
Yeah.
So when you come in with that attitude, it just continues to push that narrative. And then you become a little older in this, and business comes on the table. I became a little older. Business came on the table. So it's like, oh, I gotta buckle down and make sure I have different strings or strands of income coming in so I can make sure I'm okay. I think that dance is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think the direction that it's going with social media is amazing, because for the first time, we get to be the star, you know? But I don't think that there's an experience that I would rather have than being on tour behind artists and having 80,000 fans scream at you at Wembley Stadium in London. Where do you feel that kind of love?
Yeah. What is that even like? Who were you at Wembley Stadium for?
Will.i.am. That was my first time to London. And whew.
How old were you?
23.
Okay, so
I was 23.
So you'd been homeless living in your car.
Yeah, I was still homeless when that was going on.
And then suddenly you're on Will.i.am's tour.
Still homeless.
At Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned a little bit ago kind of wanting to be a bridge between like the haves and have-nots, you know, like poverty and privilege. So I'm assuming like in this time, like being transplanted into a giant tour with this mega successful artist, like that was probably pretty apparent to you, like thinking, wow, in Los Angeles, I'm living in my car right now. And here I am on this giant mega tour.
Wasn't about me. At that point, it wasn't about me. I remember going on that tour, and every night I dedicated it to a friend that had passed away. It wasn't about me. So no, it didn't hit then.
Gotcha.
It took a few years for it to hit. I had a lot of stuff I had to get off of me. I think what's really hard about society today is there's no forgiveness for people growing. I mean, you look at the Kevin Hart situation that just took place. There's no forgiveness. Like, that was 10 years ago. Like, when are we going to allow something to be something that's old? You know, I think what's hard is, as a young man, I grew up and I had to be aggressive. It's not who I wanted to be. I didn't want to have to look over my shoulder. I didn't want to have to fight. I didn't want to have to be this angry guy. But if I spend 20 years being him so I could protect myself in my environment, when I get out, I don't know how to be somebody else.
Yeah.
I have to learn, you know? So I had a lot of stuff I had to get off of me. I think the first 4 years of me moving around in L.A. was really, really difficult for me. I had a lot of lonely nights, a lot of crying. I'm on the road thinking about, man, like such and such just died, but I'm out here living my life and I can't go to the funeral. They still hit me. They still text me. I'm getting phone calls from people in jail. Hey, bro, keep on going because I got 60 years. Like that hits you in your heart and you alone on the other side of the world. Yeah, woo. Mm-hmm. But everybody at home still living like trash. So it hits you. It tears you apart. I think as a man now, I can look at it and I've grown. I've learned how to accept the fact that I'm supposed to be the light. You know, not the gatekeeper, but the light. Let me go out and speak for my people. Let me try to have conversation to allow specific people that have these demons that haunt them, that latch onto them and continuously pull them backwards. They need a voice too. No, not everything they do by society is going to say, yes, this is okay. But they need a voice because they live in like trash.
Mm-hmm.
And society won't look at that because society says, well, why would you act like that? Well, why would you scream at somebody? Well, why would you hit somebody? Because my whole life, that's how people dealt with issues. Everybody around me, in school, out of school, principals, teachers. What do you mean? Every police. How you feel if you're 14 years old and a police grabs you, throws you on a hood? They've been driving around for 8 hours. That hood is hot. I'm not resisting arrest. My face is burning, so I back off of the hood. Now I'm slammed to the ground, put in handcuffs, and taken to jail for resisting arrest. That's not right. Not saying police are bad or all police do that, but there are the select few that do, and that cannot be dismissed. It has to be acknowledged because that kid now has a record, and that record lives for a very long time, and that kid cannot move through life without that record being noticed.
Yeah.
You know? So... I didn't notice how good life was until just recently, you know. And I give a lot of credit to the Jennifer Lopez's that have been in my life, because they've shown me that I'm worthy. They've shown me my worth. They've allowed me to see me for who I've become and not who I always was. A lot of people that live in those environments, they never see themselves for who they're supposed to be, because they have to continue to put on this tough exterior.
Right.
When in reality, everybody wants to relax. I don't know a gangster out there that doesn't want to relax. Everybody wants to be able to go to sleep and know they're going to wake up in the morning. Everybody wants to be able to have hope for tomorrow, have a dream, wake up and know that they got food to eat. Cold reality is there's a lot of people that don't. And we, as this generation of artists that are coming up, it's our duty to take care of not only them, but also, in a privileged sense, allow people that are privileged to know how they're living and allow those that are living like that to know how privileged you're living so they can get along.
Because
it's not about just poverty stricken, because privileged people go through their problems too. We just don't understand them because we think, oh my God, if I had money, I'd be okay.
Everything
but in reality, they got trash too. People's dad's not around because they're working. People's mom's not around because they're working, so they're getting raised by nannies. It might sound like, oh, well, how bad could that be? Well, if you didn't have a dad that loved you, if you didn't have a mom that loved you, it could be horrible. You could have depression too. So we're way more closely related than people think. We have drug addiction and poverty. They have drug addiction and privilege as well. We got to start talking. Open up the bridge and understand that we can love on each other. Just give each other a hug.
I bet that your mom and your family is very proud of you.
Yeah.
Just as you're talking, I'm thinking that, like, I'm just sure that they're so happy that you, like, at this point in your life, you have come to, like, sort of understand these things and now have this urge to want to be a light for people and talk about this stuff on any platform, on your Instagram, on YouTube, maybe if you start a podcast or, you know?
Yeah, it's
in many ways.
yeah, my mom rocked with me, you know? She always taught me if I start it, finish it, and at the end of the day, if I speak it, stand by it, regardless if it's right or wrong.
So have you had, you mentioned, you know, the Jennifer Lopez's of the world who have sort of introduced certain things into your, the way that you see life. Have you had a lot of mentors in dance that have come along the way just in your career?
Unfortunately, no. Mm-mm. Unfortunately, no. Dance is still, in my opinion, dance is still in the infancy. Look at actors. If an actor worked as much as I worked as a dancer, what? I'd be rich.
Oh, yeah,
living
be
on top of the world.
Yeah.
You'd living
like
on
Johnny
top
Depp.
Of the world. What? I've been working straight 6 years. What are you talking about? I'd be great, but we're still in infancy, you know? So everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody's like, you know what? I got to continue to grind, continue to grind, continue to grind. For me, I never believed in mentors until recently. So I never looked towards anybody and said, inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God got me. I'm going to run.
Right.
I never had inspirations growing up. I didn't have people that I looked to growing up. There wasn't nobody around me. So I didn't understand how important it was.
So you weren't necessarily seeking that out.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't understand how important it was. I had no clue that mentorship, like, you know, my daddy wasn't around. So why am I going to let another man father me? Nah.
Yeah, I'm
good. I've been doing this and I got my first job at 12 years old. You know, I've been working my whole life. Like, I had to pick up them boots a long time ago, sir. So what you mean you gonna mentor me? Nah, I'm okay. But now I understand how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have, but I feel like God was saving me for now. He wanted the mentors of my life to come now that I have a better understanding. So
right.
I wanna be easily influenced, but instead inspired and motivated.
Gotcha. So can we talk a little bit about the places that you've been?
Mm-hmm.
Since you've started this career,
most definitely
sounds like you went to the UK.
Yes,
with Will.i.am. How is working with him?
Will is a genius, by far. He is one of the. If I had to say when I started to be inspired by people, I would say it would start with Will, for sure. He number one, he's from California. Number two, he does hip hop music. Yeah, we listen to Black Eyed Peas, and they did a lot of pop hits. But Will.i.am used to break dance. He takes the time out to understand technology in a way that most people will never know. I mean, there was one point where he took out a certain amount of months to just go study in India so he could understand how to revolutionize his ideas. You know, brilliant. Why not? Yeah. So he takes the time out. He takes the He doesn't think, well, let me put out some shoes for the black community. He thinks, let me go pour into the schools and start allowing kids to have the resources they never had. That way kids can dream bigger than they ever thought. If all we have is basketball, football, and a rap CD, what you think? Everybody's going to go for the same dream.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's in the same pool, and this not just black kids, this everybody. If everybody in the same pool trying to swim, there's no room.
Right, when in reality, like, let's get some robotics classes
going.
Exactly. Let's get some STEM happening.
Yeah, I mean, look at Will.i.am's car line, I.am Auto, you know? He has a car line that you can custom. If you want the front of a Bugatti and the back of a Lamborghini, you can customize that. And they build it for you, and it is your car.
Yeah.
The brilliant, brilliant. He by far, I'm glad that it was my first one. But if I had the opportunity to tour with him again, I think that I would dive in and try to do business more. When I was then I was so green. I'm just trying to get, I don't know. But now I get it. I get it.
Gotcha. You said that you mentioned you loved touring.
Yeah.
With performers. Why touring and not necessarily, like, I don't know, working in one particular place or?
I mean, even working, I did residencies, and residencies are great too because the world comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tour, there's nothing like going to Azerbaijan. There's nothing like going to Africa. There's nothing like taking an overnight trip to Paris. You know, there's nothing like sleeping in the Armani Hotel and the Versace Hotel, going to Dubai, going to Qatar. There's nothing like that. I get to go and I get to see the world. And not only do I get to see the world, it's on somebody else's dime. They're paying me to eat there. They're paying me to be there. And I get to live my dream here. And the people here treat me well. they don't look at me and see something as far as how here in America we can look at each other and say color, or we could look at each other and say financial, dot, dot, dot. When I go there, because of what I'm there for, they're treating me well.
Right.
So I get to actually just relax. My guard is down, and I get to travel with my guard down, you know? So touring is amazing because you get to experience the world.
How much rehearsal time is spent before the tour starts?
It depends. Every tour is different. Every artist is different. Some call for a lot. Some call for a little. When we got ready for the residency we did over in Vegas, we did 3 months.
Like, that was for Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, yeah. So we did 3 months, I would say 6 days a week, primarily 8 hours a day. But once it got closer, those production rehearsals, they start to get long. So you could be there from anywhere from 8 to 12 to 13, 14 hours. But it's worth it.
So as it gets closer to the opening day, mm-hmm. is it a high stress situation, or are you starting to feel like the more prepared, the more you know the whole performance, you're feeling more relaxed and more excited?
I think that that's a person by person basis. For myself, I used to let myself get stressed, but mm-hmm. now it's like, if the show must go on, whatever's going to happen happens.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be excited than stressed.
Yeah. So you get, do you get very anxious or nervous before a performance, before a show?
It depends.
Like, what's your mentality when you're about to go out? You said, like, going out to 80,000 screaming people in a concert. What's your mentality?
What's it for? What's it for? That's my mentality. What is this for?
I see what you're saying.
What is this for? Like, I want to be an energy that speaks on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am behind the artist, and everybody is here to see the artist, but my energy must speak. So what child can I transform in this audience? What grown man can I make cry? What woman can I make believe again? What is it for? I have a dream, and so does everybody on this earth. The problem is, in society, we choose to stop dreaming, and we choose to work for other people, and we choose to just become a robot. And then on our weekends, we enjoy our day off by doing what? Sleeping and watching everybody who dreams on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Watching Netflix.
Exactly. And everybody on Netflix, they had a dream and they accomplished that dream. What makes you different from them?
Mm-hmm.
They go to work for somebody. The difference is they believed in themselves enough to be the person on Netflix, not just watching it.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to be that energy on that stage. I want to be a star too. I don't want to just be a shadow. I want to mm-hmm. be a star. I want to be right here.
Didn't Jennifer Lopez start as a background dancer
yes.
for like New Kids on the Block, maybe?
And then she was on In Living Color.
But she started that way, right?
Yes.
And then I was obsessed with Selena, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's like how I learned about Selena. It was because of Jennifer Lopez. And then obviously she, you know, went on to do a lot of different things, different avenues. So are you into acting or?
Yeah, I want to do it all. I would love to act. I'm diving into acting classes now just so I can, you know, get my feet wet. But I write. I love writing screenplays.
That's a way to do it. Write yourself into something.
Well, write yourself into something. But also, if I know everything, not everything. Let me say that again. If I know a little bit about everything, I'm more powerful than somebody who's a master at one thing. If I understand how to use a camera, and I understand angles, and I understand lighting, and I understand editing, and I understand sound, and I understand acting and writing, then how powerful can I be when I know exactly what the person that's talking to me wants out of me? If I just know how to act, or if I just know how to dance, that means I'm a one-trick pony and I'm only used for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me to emote a specific energy or speak this dialogue in a different way, or make something come to life, if I understand camera angles and I understand subtleties and I understand the editing process as well as the writing process and what it is to develop a character, I'm more powerful because I can do so. I can give it to you. I know how to pull out of myself because I've actually written people. I've actually had to sit down and think of, oh, so there's subtext and everything. There's layers to these characters. Like, if this person is an introvert, they have to be an introvert through the whole script. So what would an introvert do in every situation? How would they act? How would their eye twitch? How would their hand sit? Would they tap? You know what I mean? Would they move their water bottle a lot? What is it? You know, why are they nervous? What is it connected to? When I write, I have to think of those. So going into acting, I feel like I'll be able to do well knowing that I've practiced the editing, I've practiced the filming, and I've practiced the writing.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And on that note, it's so amazing when you watch a really like convoluted story, something like Game of Thrones,
yes,
to where you're like, these people have been able to advance the story arc for every character. And there's hundreds of characters.
Yes.
It's
yes.
incredible.
Yes. It's amazing. I watch everything. I watch everything, good, bad, and otherwise. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can learn from all of it.
Yeah.
I think some of the worst films teach you the most. Mm-hmm. They teach you what not to do, and they also teach you, oh, wow, like they broke this rule and it actually worked out, which teaches you there is no rules. There yeah. was only art.
Have you seen Vice?
Yes.
I love how in the middle the credits roll.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah. No, why I not? Know. Exactly. You're like, oh, I see what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, I think that
totally.
That's the way to live life if you're going to create. Why not?
Mm-hmm. I have a question about dancing.
Yes.
Have you always been able to, has it always come naturally, the ease of picking up choreography?
Negative.
Because I've taken maybe a handful of hip-hop classes here just as like a physical fitness kind mm-hmm. of thing, not because I'm trying to be a dancer. I couldn't.
I mean, bow, come on.
But yeah, but it's funny because like if you aren't consistently learning choreography, 8 counts of anything, mm-hmm. it's like it's a skill that you have to continuously mm-hmm. keep doing. Mm-hmm. Like if you took a year off, mm-hmm. would it be hard for you to come back and suddenly learn a dance?
Oh yeah, your body doesn't move the same.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't move the same. I got it like, I took, 3 months off after our residency ended?
Uh-huh.
I came back and I was like, ooh, what is this? This is a hip? How does that work?
Yeah.
You know? It's something that, it's like any other skill. Like, you can't take a year off of going to the gym and think you're going to come back in and put the same weights on.
Right.
You know, you're going to be weak. You have to rebuild that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's the most complicated choreography you've had to learn?
Colombian salsa.
Oh, what was that for?
Our residency in Vegas.
Colombian salsa.
Oh my goodness. Their feet move so fast. I've never seen anything like this in my life. They're amazing. I won't even say half as talented as them.
So did you have like Colombian salsa dancers
yes.
come in and show
yes.
you guys what to do?
Yes. They flew out from Cali, Colombia. And they came in and they worked with us for a few weeks. And I mean, they throw each other in the air. They'll launch a girl all the way across stage and catch him over on the other side.
Yeah.
They do some tricks that I've never witnessed in my life. They're so fly. I mean, so inspiring. And they're workhorses. They come in and they beat you to death with the steps. And you end up learning. But it is a challenging process. By far the hardest dance style I've ever learned.
And then to think that people dance in heels yeah. and are like singing.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if you go back and watch the Grammys, you'll see the Colombian salsa right at the end of our
performance. I was about to say, I could have sworn that she did something like that at
yeah.
the very end where she's like moving her legs really fast.
Yes. And that's not an easy task for anybody.
No.
You know, but after a performance where you've been singing live and then come on, stop playing. Like she's
yeah.
great. You know, like.
Yes. That's actually something that. Like irritates me a lot, and I'm not even in that industry, is when people are like, it was okay. And you're like, do you know how hard that would be?
Mm-mm, they don't.
And
they don't.
Not even just to like do the steps, but to like do the steps.
To execute them correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. If you're going to do anything, you want to do it right, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to learn by the people that did it, people are like, oh, well, they can learn by the people that did it. That means you really have like a standard to live up to. You didn't take a weekend class over in Gilroy, California to learn Colombian salsa. You had the real people come here and
right.
teach you. Like you have a standard. There is a bar that's set and you have to hold yourself to that standard, which means you have to put 120% into self
yeah.
and trust you and, you know, throw caution to the wind and be great.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, people in the crowd are watching you and potentially like getting really inspired by seeing people out there doing their thing, and people are paying money to see them.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, how many kids go home to a home life that they don't want to be in? You know?
Yeah.
They have
that's
to
like
escape.
A nice escape for them.
They have to escape, and being able to watch somebody and then being able to get on YouTube and learn whatever just inspired you.
Yeah.
You can escape every time you're at home. You can turn on YouTube. You can turn on your your laptop and you can escape into the world you want to be in and really grow your skills. We have that accessibility today, which is beautiful, you know? So I want to, as well as I know any strong performer wants to inspire them kids, wants to inspire them adults to pick up new things.
Yeah.
And just try it, because you only have, what, less than 100 years here? And then where do you go? Nobody actually knows. So because of that, are you really going to waste time not?
I know. Should I be a dancer?
Yeah. I think so. If you took a handful of classes already, dive in. Come on.
I have a question. Don't get offended by this. But mm-hmm. when, Pete, you say that you're a dancer because you're a guy, do sometimes people think you're a stripper?
Yes.
Like, do you ever have to preface, like, say, like, no, I'm a professional, like, background
Always.
Dancer.
And they'd be like, yeah, okay. always. I live with it now. I live with it now. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but still, if people actually knew what you did, they'd be like, "Oh, that's pretty he cool." Is not he is yeah. like, yeah, traveling.
You know,
yeah. Who's been like the most demanding person you've worked for?
Demanding,
like as in, you know, the most rehearsal. Like, just all right, we got it, but we got to do it again.
Okay. Well, I don't like the word demanding. I think that the highest expectations has come from J-Lo.
Demanding could have a negative connotation.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to take it as a negative thing, because I understand how perception works and people can perceive it wrong. But 120%, 150% every time.
Do you guys typically dance with the same group of people? In your Vegas residency, was it typically the same group?
People, yes.
So I imagine you guys get relatively close, right? Or, you know, you're kind of hanging with the same people, or, you know, a couple people. You're
it becomes
together,
family,
right?
Because you're together more than you. I mean, people have spouses and they see us. We see each other more than your spouse. You know what I mean? Like, we see each other more than our parents. It becomes family because of that. So you get really close with each other.
So did you stay in Vegas that whole time?
I moved. I stayed. Oh, okay. I did a year where I went back and forth, and then my brother lives in Vegas. He's a makeup artist. I got him to come and do makeup on the show. And
it was
like a dope experience to have my brother with me at this level, you know?
Yeah.
We got my mom and my sister to move out there with my sister's kids. So that was the first time they got out the hood and we got to put them in a house. And it was like, wow, look, God moved us up, you know? So I stayed there for 2 years and did the family thing, was an uncle, got to like be in love with my family again. You know? We take so much time away from our family to chase a dream that we forget that the dream is actually being in love.
Yes.
And there's nobody better to love than your family.
Matt Day from the Bay. I could not agree more. My family lives in Cincinnati, all of them. And it's like you get recharged when you're around those people.
Because unconditional. It's unconditional. You know?
Yeah.
When you mess up, you didn't mess up. They're like, all right, well, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And they're there to patch you up. Even if it hurts, they're supposed to hurt you. They're supposed to hurt you. It's your family.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones you can't leave their side. They can't leave yours. They are supposed to hurt you. Those hurts are how you grow. Those hurts are how you learn how to deal with society and people that don't love you.
Yeah.
Because if you can deal with the hurt your family gives, you can deal with a little bit of pain from people that you don't know.
Right. Can anyone else in your family dance?
My brother did contemporary for years. He was supposed to be the dancer. You know, my sister danced. My dad thinks he can, but, you know, he 60-some-odd years old, 64 years old, talking about fried dog laid to the side, you know?
Oh, what's
so,
that?
You know, that's that family barbecue, you know? He'll do that, you know, a little two-step. I'm the one that really took it the distance.
Right.
God saw for me to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, are you an all-star at, like, I feel like you'd be an all-star wedding guest.
I mean,
right? Yeah. Am I right, Anthony?
I think I'm a fly guest everywhere. I think I'm an all-star at everything. Why not? If you want me bar mitzvahs, let's go. I'm an all-star.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll speak, I'll dance.
Did you ever have, I feel like we're about the same age. Do you remember Darren's dance groups?
Yes.
He just made VHS tapes and
yes. Everybody, come on, Darren's dance group. That's like, man, that's our Tybo. That's Dancer's Tybo.
Yeah,
you know,
right? Yeah.
So yeah, that's a classic nostalgia.
I know he was on our show.
Yeah,
like maybe in the past year.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Like, I think he's doing well.
Good.
He inspired a lot of middle school kids to really get out there
and
their bye moves.
Exactly. I mean, listen. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy because people still talk about it. You know, that's something that'll live in us forever. Totally. I wish the younger generation got to see that.
Yeah. Well, at least now there are like tons of people on YouTube and Instagram. Like I follow a mom and daughter on Instagram and all they do is just dance together.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It is. I love it. I love that people are fearless.
Definitely. How do you, like when you're not rehearsing every day for something coming up, do you lift?
Yeah.
I know you mentioned you do yoga.
Okay, so I used to be heavy in the fitness in the sense of I'm going to go in and I'm going to throw up iron. If you don't lift, you ain't.
Because you have to be strong. Yeah. Like you're lifting up sometimes.
Yes.
J-Lo or whoever you're with.
Yeah, there was one point I was 200 pounds and I was just lifting heavy every day. But that started to tear my body up. So now I try to be smart and my whole thing is don't beat yourself, be yourself. Like when you go into the gym, if you don't have it that day, if you're in there and you're like, you know what, I am exhausted, then why beat yourself? Why beat yourself? Yeah. Take that time to stretch. Take that time to indulge in allowing your body to heal. So I'll go in and I lift. I go to the gym 6 days a week, but I don't lift 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And even when I do go in there, I'm listening to my body. I don't say, okay, today's chest and back and no, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do whatever I feel needs to be strengthened. I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to stretch in the beginning to see what ache is where, what feels weak. I spend a lot of time massaging my muscles to like see, okay, ooh, that hurts. Ooh, that doesn't feel good. So the next day I can go in and I can build it. If something doesn't feel right, like right now, I feel like I've stretched my back a lot. I've stretched my back. I've stretched the back of my legs. I feel like my chest needs to be opened up. So, and that was this morning. I was like, I really need to stretch my chest. So I just laid there with my chest open. It's not even about the gym. Go get one of the balls, lay on it, and let your chest hang open.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of working out so I can build these pectoral muscles, just understand my body.
Right.
I'm already strong enough to pick people up. I'm 28. I should be strong enough to pick a grown woman up and put her on my shoulder. That should be something I should be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just about trusting myself to make sure that I feel great.
Right.
That way I'm not walking through this world hurt.
Right.
Because then you allow the doorways of stress.
Have you seen a lot of people get injured just from dancing too much or just not taking the time you're talking about to recover?
Yeah, I mean, we, like I said, we do this 365 days. Like, we go to rehearsal, we come home. And the thing is, when you're dancing on tour and when you're doing these jobs, you're not dancing like you. Yes, the dream was to come out here and dance. But the idea of dance that we fell in love with is a self-connection with the way that we dance. As far as those of us that started out freestyling. I started out freestyling. So I fell in love with dance because it was self-expression. When I get on jobs, it is job expression.
Right.
What are we expressing through this job? So when I get off of the job, I want to go and I want to move like me. I want to freestyle. I want to dance like Matt Day. That way I can be in my space. But sometimes it's ignorant to do so. Because if you hurt yourself because you're in the middle of your living room trying to have a freestyle session and then you just hurt your knee and now you're out for the next 8 months, you just killed yourself because you wanted to express yourself.
Yeah.
While you're on a job, you know? So I've seen a lot of people do stuff like that, end up losing jobs because they hurt themselves because they're in a parking lot dancing. What are you doing?
Right.
Like, come on, you know? So I've seen all kinds of injuries, people on jobs getting injured, all types of things.
Yeah.
All type of things.
Has anyone ever, I was reading about a dancer who was supposed to perform with Jay-Z at the VMAs 1 year. They practiced. They got paid for the job, but at the last minute, he switched it up and I think was like, all right, actually, we're not going to do this. You're just going to stand on the side. I don't want background dancers anymore. Has anything ever happened to where, you know, you were ready to do something and then suddenly, like, it changed in an instant and you had to just readjust? Do you know what I'm saying? Or maybe the moves, they changed right before, the choreography changed right before.
Yeah. I mean, you got to understand. Because
it seems like you really have to go with the flow sometimes.
I mean, we're the shadow. We chose to be back up dancers.
Yeah.
Not front dancers.
Yeah.
You know, I say it all the time. I feel like as a background dancer, I'm choosing to step behind the person that's choosing to be at their greatest.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm their accessory. If a girl has on a purse, I'm the purse. I'm not the girl. The girl has me on. I'm on stage because I'm with the girl.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm an accessory. So whatever she needs, I have to do. it's not up to me.
Right.
You know?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So I've definitely had moments where one night we're performing on a stage that looks like this, but then tomorrow we're flying out to go to Atlanta and they have a completely different stage, but it's the same routine. And this stage is, the dimensions are this way. So now we have to change all of the formations for everything. Or we had an incident where somebody got hurt right before we went on stage. And it's like, okay, well, we have 15 minutes to figure out new formations for a 2-hour show. Guess what? Are you great or are you not? Pull up.
Yeah.
Pull up. There's the pull-up bar. Grab it and pull up. You know?
Yeah.
Don't cry. Pull up.
Yeah.
Now's your time to see where your character lives.
Struggle
to find character. It went amazing.
It went amazing.
What do you mean? It was one
you
of our greatest shows.
Up.
What do you mean? Why? Because struggle builds character.
Yeah.
And that's what we want, a great character. Great characters put on great shows. So, you know, I'm pulling up every time. Let's go.
You're definitely pulling up, Matt Day from the Bay. What else did I want to ask you? How long did the... first of all.
Yes.
Were you surprised by the criticism that J-Lo got?
Not at all. Not surprised.
Did you expect that to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I'm black. You know? I'm black. But at the end of the day, it's about the bridge. It's about the bridge. I think Kanye West got criticized a lot when the whole TMZ thing went down. He was preaching the fact that, yo, we are human. We human.
Yeah.
We only got a few years on this earth to try to push society forward. I commend her for being fearless. She did that. She was fearless. She chose to live her dream out. I don't care if I'm at home or not. She lived her dream out. She lived her dream out just like any of us would have. We're going to live our dream out. We're in a day and age where you can't do nothing without being wrong.
You're right about that.
There's not anything that somebody can do without somebody saying it's wrong, you know? So with that being said, there's always going to be somebody that has something to say. Always.
Yeah.
Always. But at the end of the day, are we pushing society forward? Because if we are, it is about equality. It is about every person being equal. I watch just as much. I'm black and I'm white. I am a black male and I am a white male, mixed in one, because my dad's black and my mother's white. So I watch documentaries about the alt-right so I can learn that. I watch documentaries about the KKK so I can learn that. I watch all of that. And then I go and I watch the same documentaries that we have for our issues. I watch our Black Lives Matters. I watch these documentaries about what we want too, so I can have knowledge on both. It's important. It is important to know both sides. Both sides. All sides. I want to know what's going on in the life. I don't know what it's like to be a Cambodian refugee. So how am I going to tell them that their struggle is not worse than mine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like unless I get the knowledge. I don't know what it's like to be Latin. I'm not Latin. So how am I going to know what that struggle is like? I'm not going to look at nobody. Somebody might lose a goldfish and another person might lose a friend. But if that goldfish meant the world to them, they cried. So who's to say that that hurt wasn't the same? I'm here for equality. So for me, yeah, I knew there was going to be criticism. But at the end of the day, it's about equality.
Because
everybody has a struggle. And everybody's going through something. And it's 2019. So if we're going to open the door for everybody to be loved, then that's love on everybody and love everything. Like, to me, it's ignorant to say one way or the other. I know that some people won't agree with me, and that's okay. Quite frankly, I want to love everybody. I come from those environments. I got a homeboy that was shot 31 times by the police. I come from those environments. What do you mean? I got friends that have hung themselves. I got friends that have OD'd on pills. You know, I've come from all of it. My best friend was shot in the head. You know, like, I used to watch people get beat all the time. Police used to be at my school, all of that. Sixth grade, police show up and they're slamming a sixth grader into the gravel, rocks all in his face. I come from those environments. I had those shackles. I no longer choose to live with those shackles of saying I have to fight for this when I could fight for me and I could fight for peace. Why latch myself to a specific when I could just fight for me and fight for peace and love across the board? I got to understand all sides, and I feel like we need to stop pointing fingers at what's right and wrong when we don't even know what right and wrong is. We don't know. How are you supposed to know what's right and wrong? How do you know you're not wrong? Instead of just opening it and saying, well, let me digest the fact that this is the day and age we're in, and we all have to share.
Yeah.
Everybody has to share.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Smokey Robinson even said, like, Motown music was for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah.
And Smokey Robinson is, come on now. People that don't know, And some of the people that speak probably don't know, but go back and do the history.
Yeah.
Go back and watch some of Smokey Robinson's old poetry. You know, he's a brilliant man, very brilliant. And it's true. It is for everybody. You can't tell me not one race that don't know Motown.
When you were, when you guys were preparing for this, mm-hmm. did you learn a lot about Motown, I'm assuming?
And just... Man, I already knew about Motown. Like,
oh,
what?
Okay.
Like, man, our Christmas album for every year that I've ever known was Motown Christmas. I don't know regular Jingle Bells. I know Motown Jingle Bells, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I grew up with Motown. Like, that was
so
my household.
So this is probably something that you were, like,
oh my
pumped
God.
For.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, because I am light-skinned, I don't really get booked for a lot of black gigs.
Really?
It is what it is. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I don't look black. I have wavy hair, and I don't look black. I look like I'm Latin. You know, we live in an industry where typecasting is a real thing, and you have to fit an image.
Right.
You know, if they want 10 black guys for this job, my skin tone says that I'm not the 10 black guys they're going to pick when there's 10 other guys that look more like the part than me. I accept that because I understand the society that we live in and the message that the art is trying to portray. That's why typecasting is real,
mm-hmm.
because there's a message that's supposed to be portrayed. So I don't get booked for those things, unfortunately. I would love to do them, but I don't. And I understand why, and it's great. I think that it's beautiful because the message is portrayed properly. So when this came about, wow, come on, God, thank you. I get to, I grew up on this. Like, finally, yes, thank you.
How much time did you guys spend preparing for it?
I mean, we had a full 7 days of rehearsal, knocking it out every single
7 days.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, full 7 days.
That doesn't
full
seem
seven
like
days.
A lot, but maybe it is.
I mean, how much work does somebody get done in a work week?
Yeah.
If you're standing on your feet learning dance steps for 8 hours every day,
yeah,
you know, you can get a lot done in 7 days.
Yeah.
You know, we're professionals.
How much of an opportunity did you get to rehearse in the Staples Center, like on the actual stage?
I'm always
curious about that.
We had our tech rehearsals. You know, we had our tech rehearsals for any of these. We always have tech rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
So they give us a time slot. I don't remember how long the time slot was, but they give every artist a time slot to come in and work their stuff out to make sure that it's appropriate for the stage to fix anything that might not be right. We had that time slot, knocked that out, and then the day of, we have a tech rehearsal, and we go through that tech rehearsal, knock it out again to make sure there's no kinks, and then it's showtime, you know, lights, camera, action. The crowd is here.
Woo!
Yeah, the crowd is here. The fire's going off behind you.
Your family was probably watching.
Yeah. My nieces sent me some messages. Can't wait to watch you on the Grammys, Uncle Matt. You know,
that's so sweet.
It's for them. I want to inspire them.
When I was watching the Grammys, I was thinking about how complicated it would be. The organization of everything, all of those people, like Diana Ross, Dolly Parton, Jennifer Lopez, all these people who have these big performances, just to coordinate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The rehearsal, like the production aspect of like televising it, mm-hmm. like all of that thing.
It's nuts.
So complicated.
I mean,
getting Michelle Obama there. Like, I just feel like there's so much.
If you want to be remembered as one of the better award shows,
yeah.
I mean, I think everybody's in competition, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, if they have the Grammys, they have the Oscars, they have the billboards, they have the this, they have the that. These are all award shows. So how do you one-up each other every single time and make it memorable?
And how do you even get people to watch anymore? You know, like there's so much out there. Like I think the Grammys got great ratings.
Yeah, they did.
You know, compared to some other award shows. Because it's like there's so much to watch.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you get people to turn on your TV and how do you like
and watch
you know,
it.
Create appointment television?
You know, as far as award shows, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
That is a whole nother beast that I'm not sure of. That to me, I mean, I watch them do this. I watch them pull it together as far as like just the day of. And it's like, wow, there's so many people. When you will turn on the TV, you think, oh, cameraman, performance, audience. Cameraman, performance, audience. But in real life,
so much.
I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people. Hundreds of people.
Yeah.
We had Michelle Obama. Like, security was nuts. How many security guards you think we had, you know?
Yeah.
With that, and then you have all of these high-profile people. and their entourage and their security and their family members and all of these dancers on every single performance. And then you have catering. You have the staff that actually work at the Staples Center. You have security all the way around it. You know, you have police cars lined up from a mile out just to make sure the proper roads are blocked off. There's so many pieces to it. So it's like when something like that, it's magnificent.
Yeah,
it's magnificent.
When it comes together.
I mean, we can't. I don't even like to stress about throwing a birthday party. So,
I know.
Why would I? You know what I mean? Like, calling people and saying, "Show up to this place for my birthday" sounds stressful.
Yeah.
Doing that, wow.
Yeah.
Time and energy.
So, are you living in LA now?
Yes.
Or are you,
oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
I just moved back to LA. Top of the year. Happy, hopeful, and ready.
Yeah.
Happy, hopeful, and ready.
That's awesome. So how much are you dancing right now?
A lot. I taught a class last night. We just had that full week for the Grammys.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you teach dance?
I do. Yes, cool. I do. I do. I want to, in my opinion, there's not too many teachers that are able to dedicate their time to teaching the youth right now that have actually been on tour and actually gone out and done the jobs and stood behind the artists for years. So I like to just try to bring that vibe to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to learn how to be a star, but I think it's important that kids understand what tour is like and what being behind an artist is like. And the professionalism you have to hold, just, it's, we're not, this isn't your 12th grade recital anymore. This is a profession. There is a hierarchy that you have to go through. There's management, there's production management, there's your creative directors, there's your dance captains. You know, you have to understand hierarchy, you have to understand business, you have to understand contracts, you have to understand how to be a businessman and woman. So I want to teach the kids that. It's more than dance. This is a business.
Yeah.
It's a business. CEO of you.
CEO of you. Where do you teach at?
IMASpace. So I'm on a sub list right now. It's in North Hollywood.
Oh, nice.
So it's a studio called IMASpace, created by a guy named Wildebeest. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant mind. Brilliant business mind. Really took the dance industry and put it on a whole nother platform, in my opinion. They've opened up the doors and allowed me to come and be a sub there. And every so often, I'll be posting on my Instagram at Matt Day from the Bay.
Matt Day from underscore the Bay.
And I sub there.
Do you have any people that you like to watch on YouTube or
dance-wise?
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of that now. Like, there's a lot of dance classes. Like, I honestly spend so much time just watching people. Like, even just on your Instagram, I watch a ton of videos you posted for longer than
Have. Oh, that makes my heart warm.
Well, because it's like, it's fun to watch because you're thinking, like, first of all, how do they move like that? And secondly, how are they, like, did they come up with that? How are they remembering that? And like sometimes movements with body, you're just like, I honestly couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you could. I had two left feet growing up. I taught myself rhythm.
Yeah.
I taught myself rhythm. So you could. If you put your mind to it, you could do it.
Yeah. It's like America's Best Dance Crew. Did you watch that show?
I did.
With the Jabba Walkies?
Yeah, I had a bunch of friends on it. All of it. Yeah.
Oh,
actually,
of course.
I auditioned for season one. We didn't make it, but we definitely auditioned.
Triple Threat?
Yes.
You did?
Come on, how you know? Yes. Look, you did your history. Come on. Triple Threat. We auditioned for that, and we were so out of our league. Yeah, we were not ready for that competition.
Some of those people, I'm like, there's six robots, and they're just programmed to move. Like, those are not humans.
Dedication.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what do you have going on the rest of the day?
The rest of the day, I want to do some editing. I need to dive in and do some editing. I want to go be creative.
Yeah.
I want to go be creative. So I have some footage that I want to edit. Me and my guy Anthony have a meeting about some projects we have coming up. Got a lot of like short film stuff that we want to do, a lot of different visuals we want to do. So just planning that out. We got a little web show we want to start working on. So just a lot of planning and continuing to move forward with this year.
Gotcha.
And I have to go to the gym and stretch. I didn't do that. I didn't really get a good gym workout this morning, so.
You should get a podcast going with your, ask your friend Alex Rodriguez to.
Man, holla at me,
set
Alex.
Set you up with a little distribution platform.
Holla at me, Alex. Look, I'm doing the work, sir. That's what it is.
You would have a good podcast.
I think so. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm a believer in you do it yourself. And when you start to do it yourself, the people that want to be around you, they contact you. So for me, I'm just blessed to be in his space. I'm in his space enough for what I do to be seen. And I think that it's more important that I do it on my own than it is for me to ask for somebody to help or you know. And I think that that's a message for the youth as well. Let's do it on our own. Let's be the ones that have ownership. You know, Tyler Perry owns his work. Yeah. He owns his work, you know. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez went from playing baseball to now owning his work, you know. And I think it's very important to push ownership, and I'm working on that first and foremost. So a podcast is probably in the future at some point.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Yeah, so, you know? I mean, yeah, it's time.
True.
It's time because you want it to sound crisp. You want it to be right. You don't want to just jump in and, you know, sound like trash, you know. So it'll probably be in the future. It's just letting me set my intention and allowing me not to get caught in the fog.
Oh, caught in the fog. There's a lot of that around here lately.
Yeah.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow.
I mean, you know. I don't want to be stuck in the rain either.
It really is. It's funny. You've moved back here. It's been raining for
a while. I know. It sucks, man.
Don't you think?
I'm like, when is the sun going? The sun will come out. Never.
Never. This girl that works here just moved from Florida, and the whole time, I feel like it's been
raining.
Not good weather.
Raining. And I'm like, man.
It'll stop one day. I don't know.
I just want some sun. I want my skin to feel alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the pod.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's been amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. If you enjoyed the show, let us know in the review section which episode you enjoyed. Olympic and Bundy is available wherever you get podcasts. So if you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.